The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and his goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' The king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Jesus, you make yourself known to us all around us in the world, in the faces of our brothers and sisters. Open our eyes and our minds and our hearts to see you in the world around us and to care for you in our world now as we would have done had we known you on earth. Amen. This Sunday, we celebrate Christ the King Sunday. And as we see the altar that Susan Baldwin has elegantly draped in gold, we remember the one who reigns over heaven, whose glory and majesty are beyond what we could grasp or imagine. And yet the celebration of Christ the King is one rooted in paradox. We celebrate Christ the King on this, the last Sunday of the church year. And then next Sunday, our church year begins anew as we prepare for the arrival of our King, but in a twist so unexpected that many will not recognize him, our King will not arrive in fanfare and splendor. He will arrive as a helpless infant, born among the animals and the poor, not where anyone expects to find a king. But this coming in weakness and vulnerability is the beginning of a story God reveals to us throughout Jesus' life, a story of a man who continually surrounds himself with the poor, the hurting, the outcast. Emmanuel, God with us, not on a throne to reign over us in power and might, but among us, beside us. So deeply devoted to us in our places of suffering and pain that he died abandoned, outcast, publicly shamed, despised, and yet proclaiming a love that could reach us even in these places in our own lives. A love that finds us, dwells with us, even there. The paradox of Christ the King is one we see so beautifully displayed on the icon that lies before the altar this morning. Can I get the camera to focus there for a minute? In the icon that is before the altar, the sign above Christ's head reads, "The King of Glory." Our King is one who suffers with us. His glory, his reflection of God's true nature, shone most fully here on the cross. For God's true nature is love. Powerful, all-encompassing, life-changing, world-transforming love. This is our King. The one we have waited for, whose second coming we await even now. As Christians, we live our lives suspended between these two Advents, seeking to live following the example of the one who was born that holy night, joyfully anticipating the day in which we are in his presence once more. In the 12th century, a Cistercian monk named Bernard of Clairvaux recognized that in the time between these two Advents, the birth of Christ and his coming again, there was in fact a third, a middle Advent, in which Christ appears to us here and now. It is what some have described as the everyday arrival of Jesus. The knock at the door, the still small voice, the lonely prisoner, the hungry mother, the weary refugee, the migrant worker, the asylum seeker. It is the way that Jesus comes to us again and again and again. And in watchfulness for this third Advent, the Christian life is largely a matter of being ready to welcome him when he does. This idea is at the heart of this morning's gospel passage from Matthew. In the parable of the sheep and the goats, in which Jesus describes what will take place at the end of days, how our lives will be measured in their end. He explains that at that time that the sheep will be separated from the goats, to the right and to the left. But the means of separation from one another are not what his listeners might expect. Those gathered to his right hand are not the ones who obeyed the rules the best. They are not the ones who were successful, the most powerful, who accomplished the most. No, they were the ones who cared for the poor, the hungry, the naked, the stranger, the prisoner, whoever it was in need, right in front of them. And Jesus says to them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." In case you are keeping track of Advents, it's Jesus who was born at the first Advent, talking about what he'll say at the second Advent at the end of time about how we have lived here and now. In the third Advent. Are we clear? It's a message that calls out to those whose motivation for good behavior is a concern about whether or not we're getting into heaven, whose eyes are focused on the end times and not on the here and now, on the world around us. The first and the second Advents both point us toward the present, what Bernard of Clairvaux calls this third Advent. How Jesus lived during his time on earth should transform how we live in our world now. We should not keep our focus on how we will be judged at the end of time, at that second Advent, because how we are judged will depend on how focused we are on the world around us now. Both of these are a continual call to wake up to the presence of Christ in the world around us now, to open our eyes and our ears and our minds and our hearts to the hungry, the sick, the anxious, the poor, the cold, the hurting, the lonely now. And in caring for them, we are caring for Christ. We have an opportunity to do this together as a community in the upcoming season of Advent as we collect essential items, socks, cold weather accessories, and holiday treats for the people who attend our Church Without Walls service each week. For those of you who have never participated in this ministry, you've got to come sometime and see what it's like to enjoy the company of, to care for, to laugh with, to pray with people that so many would walk by and never notice, and yet to see the face of Christ in their faces. In fact, the Church Without Walls website describes the ministry that happens in Court Square each week as simply this: we are people seeking Christ in one another, while doing our best to be the face of Christ for one another. It's a ministry of the third Advent. And participating in a ministry such as Church Without Walls has the potential to change how you experience life in the places you live and work too. Because once you've started to recognize Christ in the world around you, you find yourself suddenly able to recognize him in so many places you've never imagined. In the checkout line at the grocery store, on a walk, in your neighborhood, on a Zoom call, even in your very own home, among your family and loved ones. And you might find yourself starting to imagine how you could be Christ to someone else in all those same places. As we celebrate Advent in the coming weeks, I invite you to spend some time looking for the signs of Bernard of Clairvaux's third Advent in the world around you, and wonder how you might be the sign of the third Advent for someone else. In remembrance of the one who came at that first Advent, the one who will look to how we lived our lives at that second Advent, let us dwell here in this in-between time, ever making our lives a third Advent, a revelation of Christ to this weary world, even now. Amen.